O Christian, in your prayers, in your life, in your joys and your trials, remember Christ, who is your hope, who is the answer to these prayers that we read in the Psalms, who is the fulfillment of the things that David was praying for and looking towards. We have that, and it is in Christ. In the last episode, we were in Psalm chapter 6, and we looked at the first three verses. So in this one, we're going to look at verses 4 and 5. But first, let's read this whole psalm. It's titled, O Lord, Deliver My Life, to the choir master with stringed instruments according to the Sheminith. And this is a psalm of David. O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. Be gracious to me, O Lord, for I am languishing. Heal me, O Lord, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? I'm weary with my moaning. Every night I flood my bed with tears. I drench my couch with my weeping. My eye wastes away because of grief. It grows weak because of all my foes. Depart from me, all you workers of evil, for the Lord has heard the sound of my weeping. The Lord has heard my plea. The Lord accepts my prayer. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Now, this psalm can be understood in two ways. The first is a prayer of deliverance from an illness, from a life-threatening illness that David was facing. And the second way is as a penitential psalm, as Psalm chapter 6 is grouped in with the other penitential psalms, psalms of asking for forgiveness, for deliverance from sin and from the consequences of sin. Now in verses 4 and 5, we read, Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? So these two verses here, at face value, it sounds like a prayer for healing, from deliverance. David is on the brink of death, at the doors of death, and he's asking the Lord to deliver him and to save him. And now, as most of the Psalms, they are models for prayer and devotion in our own lives. And so in verses 4 and 5, we're going to look at what these say and what it means for our prayers to God. And we're also going to look at the New Testament and how we have hope in death, even in death, because death is not the end. So let's look at verse 4, where David writes, Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. Now, as he says turn, it's assumed almost that God has turned away. Either God has turned away, or David has turned away. And this is most easily understood in sin and its consequences. I'm sure you know that when you sin, when you disobey God, your relationship, obviously, you are secure in Christ. But there is a marred fellowship. You have that shame. You have that guilt. And almost it feels like God has turned his face away from you. But more often than not, and I would argue all the time, a Christian sins, it is not God who has turned his face away. It is us who have turned away from facing God. And instead, we've turned to face whatever it is that we have done in sin. And so as David asks, Turn, O Lord, deliver my life. We can also understand that God will turn us. Yes, we must turn back and face God in prayer. But we also ask God to turn us, to turn our hearts back to him from our sin. Now, when David says, deliver my life, you can either understand this as, deliver me from this illness that threatens me with death, or spiritually, deliver my life from sin and from its end, which is spiritual death. Next, he says, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. Now, this steadfast love, in the Hebrew, chesed, that is God's covenant loving kindness. There's no one word in the English that captures all that this means. But it is the faithful love and favor and kindness that God shows to his people that he has made his covenant with. And so David here in his prayer is appealing to God's love. And I want you to be reminded of God's character, because that is what this is focusing on. As you pray, don't assume that God is someone you have to convince to hear you and to answer you. No, David says, save me for the sake of your steadfast love, because he knows God's love has not changed towards him. And neither has God's love changed towards me or towards you, Christian. And so we can appeal to God because we know he loves us. Hear our prayers. Save us from illness, from sin, from whatever it is. David continues his appeal in the next verse, verse 5. He says, for in death there is no remembrance of you. In Sheol, who will give you praise? Now, when he says in death there's no remembrance of you, he's almost saying, God, if I die, how can I give you praise? Do you not want to be glorified? Then for the sake of your own glory, save me from death. It's important to know that specifically with this word Sheol, the ancient Hebrew understanding of death was not what we understand it as today. There are many different views on this, and I'm not going to go into all of them because they're way over my head. But Sheol is the grave. Now, in the Old Testament, when the saints died, when someone died, they did not go to heaven because Christ had not yet come and died and been raised from the dead. And so Sheol, for someone to die and go to Sheol, there was no praising from their lips because they were dead. There was no being with Christ and praising him because they were dead. And there are many views on this and many arguments, but I don't want to stray too far into details, because the general idea here is that David is using this as an appeal to God. And again, you can understand this as physical death or spiritual death. And either way, both end up physically taking life. But here is where I want to shift our focus from a hopeless death, a death where there's only stillness and dark and silence. Because you and I, we live after Christ. Christ has been raised from the dead. And so what David would have faced when he died is not what we face now. David was looking towards the one who would save from death ultimately. And we look back in faith on the one who has accomplished it. Both us and David are looking to the same person, Jesus Christ, who died in our place for the forgiveness of our sins, was buried, and 3 days later was raised from the dead in glory. And because of this, we have hope after death, that if we believe in him by faith and are saved, that we will also be raised and be with him in glory. I want to read Colossians chapter 3, the first few verses. Paul writes, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And these first four verses in Colossians chapter 3, this is what I want our application from David's prayer in Psalm 6 to be. See, David has asked, Lord, deliver my life, save me for the sake of your steadfast love. For in death there is no remembrance of you, and in Sheol who will give you praise? But you and I, Christian, we have died. This death is one of the old self. And I want you, if you have been baptized, I want you to have that in mind, because that is the picture of what has happened to us spiritually. Because baptism is the outward sign of an inward reality. We go under as Christ died and went under in the ground. And then we are raised out of the water just as Christ was raised from the dead. And that old self, the old man, the old woman, was crucified with Christ. Just as it was prophesied in the Old Testament by many different prophets that God would give us a new heart, that God would cause his spirit to live in us. He would raise us from the dead, from being spiritually dead. Because before you were saved, before I was saved, we were dead in our sins. There was nothing that we could do about it. There was no remembrance of God because we were dead. There was no praise of him because we were dead. But God, being rich in mercy, he caused us to be made alive in Christ by his Holy Spirit. And we are identified with Christ in our baptism. And now we have a hope that even if we may die from illness, we will be with Christ in glory. So as David prays, we should also pray. We should appeal to God's steadfast love. We should present our requests before him, because he longs to hear from us and he loves to give good gifts to his children. But we have the hope as a tangible reality that David was only looking forwards to. We have the hope that even though we may physically die, we are spiritually alive in Christ. And as Paul said, when Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. So in our prayers of lament, as they would be, asking for deliverance, for salvation, asking for healing, asking for forgiveness, I want you to always bear in mind that if you are saved in Christ, you are secure in Christ. And because of that, you have a hope, and that hope is eternal. And that hope is what we must set our minds on. Paul said, if then we have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. Set our minds on things that are above, not the things down here. In Romans 8:18, Paul writes, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Similarly, Peter writes in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, verse 6, in this, in the reality of salvation in Christ and all that he has done for us, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you've been grieved by various trials. But he gives us the reason, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So to set our minds on what is above is to set our minds on the salvation that we have in Christ, to be hopeful for the glory that is to be revealed in us, to know and to remember and to remind ourselves every day that we are waiting to be with Him in glory. And even in our prayers for deliverance, for healing, for forgiveness, that though God may not take us out of trials for His reasons, reasons that are good, reasons that are good for us and our faith, which is more precious than gold, it is not hopeless, because our hope is untouchable. Earlier in chapter 1 of 1 Peter, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to His great mercy, He has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time." And so as we moved from Psalm chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, a prayer of deliverance from death, let us focus our minds on what is our reality in Christ. We have been delivered from death. And even though we might not be delivered from physical trial, from illness, even physical death, it is not what triumphs over us. O death, where is your sting? O hell, where is your victory? Jesus Christ has conquered the grave, and in Him is our hope. And so take that hope, and don't let it go, because He is with you, and He will be with you through all of these things. O Christian, in your prayers, in your life, in your joys and your trials, remember Christ, who is your hope, who is the answer to these prayers that we read in the Psalms, who is the fulfillment of the things that David was praying for and looking towards. We have that, and it is in Christ.